Malay. Welcome to our CMD Bite Size series. In these podcasts, we will be exploring a range of ministry and theological issues. This morning, I am joined by Abby and Mark to talk about the Think Faith conference that's taking place in Cornwall later this year. Abby lives in Mevagissey with her husband and three young sons. They are prayer missionaries there, developing prayer, community and mission. Abby is partway through her PhD with Cliff College, looking at beauty as a theological category and how that informs and shapes missional practice, which must have been beautiful for you on your way in this morning. It's such a sunny day, reflecting on that. Mark lives with his wife Rosalie in Ilagan. They moved there in 2024, having long felt that there would be at some point a missional call from the Lord to Cornwall. Prior to their move, they spent 7 years living and working in Guatemala as mission partners with the Church Mission Society, seconded to Street Kids Direct. Mark is currently rector of St Ilagan, a parish that has four congregations. So welcome, Abby and Mark, and thank you for being with me today.
Thanks.
So this year's Think Faith Conference is taking place on the 13th of October at White River Community Church, St Austell. For some listeners who may not have heard of Think Faith before, can you tell me a bit about the vision behind this Academic Theology Day conference and how long it's been running?
Absolutely. So thank you so much for inviting us to this conversation today. So the first conference we ran in 2024, so this is the third year of running Think Faith, and really the vision is to have an Academic Theology Day conference, which platforms the work of local scholars, and so drawing from Cornwall, Devon and even Dorset, to gather local scholars to share their work and for local people to engage with the work that they're doing. So we typically have four or five papers of about 30 to 40 minutes long, and then after each one there's a question and answer session where people can engage with what's been said and kind of wrestle and grapple with what the scholar has shared and their work. And so it really is a typical academic conference, but it's local, and we really hope to draw local theologians and local clergy, local ministers, local church people together to think together. And really the idea is not just to stretch our brains, but it's to listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church through her scholars. So we are coming to think deeply, but with open hearts and minds to discern, Holy Spirit, what are you saying through scholarship to inform the church and to equip the church to be able to engage with local mission and local kind of church practice. So really, this came about because I went to a conference in Bristol about 4 or 5 years ago to deliver a paper in an academic theology conference. And I was driving home and I just felt that this is a really long way to go to deliver a 20-minute paper. And I didn't know anybody in the room. And I felt like I just deposited my work in Bristol and left it there. And I kind of felt like it had no real impact, no real continuation. And I started to think it would be really great to have a space locally where we could share work that would inform our local context that we deeply care about. And I think often we're working contextually, so our theology wants to inform our practice and our ministry. So there was a kind of longing that arose in me to find a space where I could meet with other academic theologians or those working in this field and network, but also share our work and engage with that together. So really, I just started sending emails, and lo and behold, there seemed to be an appetite to gather together. And so Think Faith was sort of born. So that's the vision.
Okay, so contextualization is really important, and that's really key for us, I think, specifically in Cornwall, because sometimes we can feel a bit distanced from the rest of the country just because of geographically how far we are. So it gives people a space to have this that doesn't have the barriers of having to travel to Bristol or further afield. And I guess, is some of it about building community as well together? Because you talked about depositing that paper in Bristol and then kind of stepping out of that. But is your vision that actually you build a community of scholars around that as well, so that you don't just deliver that day conference, but you get to speak to one another outside of that too?
Absolutely. Part of what I think happens when we do theology in more marginal places is that we have quite exciting work that's produced, quite context specific works that is produced, but also work that will feed into the whole. So I think the work that's being done in Cornwall is not just applicable for Cornwall but for beyond, but it's really important to start creating spaces where this work can be platformed, because I just don't think we're hearing it. And so I hope that Think Faith is a space where we start to hear the really important work that is being done, even sometimes when we feel a little bit marginalised or separate from, you know, the rest. But to platform that and to make that be heard, I think that's really important. And yes, then what's been lovely about the conferences so far is to see people coming together and networking, and to know that relationships are being formed and contacts are being made that then in between conferences are growing and strengthening. And so whilst the conference is open to everybody's welcome, the papers are robustly academic, but they are accessible and intelligible, so you don't have to be proficient in Greek to be able to enjoy it. You know, Think Faith is designed for those who are interested and involved in academic theology, for pioneers, for clergy, for practitioners, for missionaries, for ministers, or for anybody who just wants to think more deeply about theological issues and the work that is being done locally.
Okay, thank you. That was going to be my next question, actually, was thinking about actually who's open to, because I imagine some people read the title of it and think, oh, that's far too academic for me. But actually, you're saying that it's really open to everybody, and it's good for people to stretch themselves and they'll take something away from it because the papers are accessible. For those that may be kind of thinking, oh, I'm really interested in going but I'm not sure, what do you think are the things that people get out of spending a day kind of studying scripture together, attending a conference like that?
I think there are all sorts of things. I think an analogy for me might be a little bit like going to the gym, not that I go to the gym or have done in the past, but the sense that actually having your mind stretched a bit, having a sense of going there, is what you come away with is a kind of a stimulation to think theologically, to engage more theologically with your own context. For me, also, a particular focus is actually on the scriptures, on the Bible, and the bridging the gap that often exists between academic theology and being a pastor, teacher in a local church, and what that means for the whole of God's people. So for me, that's been a big part of it, as well as the building of relationships and friendships through it. And that is core to Think Faith. We could talk a little bit about the discussion groups that have continued through the year as well, about the think tank, which has been really good to be part of. But also the informal relationships, those informal friendships and conversations that happen as part of it. I really encourage people to go. I think they are accessible papers, because you have to remember that all of us who go, even if we're giving a paper, we may know something about our own specialist subject, but we really don't know very much necessarily about what the other people giving papers are going to be speaking about. So it's opening new worlds as well, I think, and that's been a big part of it for me. I'm learning things about areas of theology and practice that I did not know anything about or very little about before.
Yeah, I think that's really important for everybody actually in churches. I remember reading Mark Green's book about fruitfulness on the front line several years ago and thinking, actually, there's so much about how do we relate what we're studying in church or in house groups or what we're thinking about to our day-to-day lives. And so it sounds like with the contextual nature of this, that's really important and something that people could take away from that. So Mark, as a priest within Truro Diocese, are there ways in which you find engaging with scholarship impacts local ministry in your context, so that actually when you're perhaps preparing sermons or preparing resources for your congregation, is that something that you've found this conference to be helpful with? Would you encourage other clergy to engage with it in that way?
I'd certainly encourage other clergy or other people in leadership roles within the church or teaching roles within the church, and whether that's actually those who are ordained or those involved in other ways through home group leaders, those who are delivering teaching in other contexts. For me personally, so there's a personal part to this, which is kind of a reintegration of an academic past that I had prior to ordination and through through several years during whilst being ordained, and sort of integrating that with now being in Cornwall in the current role. So that's been helpful for me in terms of personal development and growth and understanding how the Lord would use what I've done in the past now for his glory. But I think there's also a sense of developing a kind of habit of being willing to engage with the more academic side of things in order that what we teach be more faithful to Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a particular interest in encouraging people who are part of churches to have a confidence in Scripture. I think there's often things that are very hard to grapple with in that, and that so people can sometimes literally shut the book and not go anywhere near it. But I think part of what I was doing in my last paper, but I think there's at least two papers coming up at this next conference that encourage us to look at perhaps more difficult parts of Scripture, but how they do specifically relate to our context, not just in Cornwall, but actually in the current world.
Yeah, and I guess that's really important because clergy have got to see that they've going to get something out of it themselves in how it kind of equip them in the future, because there's so many competing demands on their time at the moment. I guess it's really difficult to balance which things are most important, which things you can take time out for. But actually sometimes taking time out to do something like that has multiple benefits rather than keeping on with the emails and
I think it does. I think it's deliberately setting some time aside to study, but then hopefully it'll actually increase study as part of a discipline of if you're involved in teaching within the church, ongoing study should be part of what you do. It sounds very prescriptive, but actually it should be life-giving, and I think faith, the way that it's set up and the way it works, is life-giving, so it's well worth taking the time out.
Excellent.
I think maybe just to say, you know, some of the papers last year, we had one on AI, we had one on the notion of belonging, we had one looking at issues of migration, so it seems that the papers that are offered every year really do speak to contemporary issues, and I think issues that all of us in a kind of ministry capacity are having to grapple with all the time. And so we shouldn't be surprised that the Spirit is speaking to scholarship in the same way that the Spirit is speaking to ministers in ministry context and speaking to the whole church. And so there's something, I think, kind of corporate and holistic about the link between scholarship and the church. And I think the hope that Think Faith could go a little way to bridging the gap between scholarship and local church, and that actually the two need to be informing each other. So theology and practice, there's this kind of connection, and hopefully in a day like Think Faith, that's a little step towards making that bridge, so that the papers and the themes that are offered really do actually inform and feed into some of the thinking and some of the tensions and issues that we're having to grapple with on the ground.
Yeah, and that's really important to give people the space to think about that as
Absolutely.
Well, because often you might hear things in the news and think, oh, how does that relate to Scripture? But actually having some time set aside to not just do that, but also to talk with other people so that you can hear different perspectives on it must be really powerful.
It's really good, and there's some surprising connections between the papers. So sometimes you'll see papers sitting next to each other and you think, well, they're entirely different topics, but actually there's some really good and interesting connections that come up as part of the day. Also, it does give you an opportunity to say, well, there's this person who's really thinking about this area. So for example, AI, if I want to know more about that, here's someone I might actually seek a conversation with or learn from, or there's pointing to other kinds of resource. So there's a number of things that happen as part of that time.
Yeah, and things like AI can become so overwhelming and such a big topic that you can almost think, I'm just going to avoid it altogether, which you won't be able to probably in the future. So making those connections is really powerful. So you've been involved in this from the beginning, and there's been a few conferences now. Have any of the speakers caused you to really change your perspective on something when you've heard them, or when you've grappled with Scripture during one of the day conferences?
I found all the papers really enriching from the very start. I get the privilege of sorting out, you know, who's speaking and you know who presents every year, and so then I have to wait from that point all the way to the conference with bated breath and excitement, because the papers that are offered every year have been so rich, so exciting to listen to. So they've all been excellent, really. But one last year that I found really applied to my practice was a paper that Isaac McNeish delivered. And he looked at the notion of belonging. And what I found as I was listening to him was that he was putting words to my experience that I hadn't yet managed to find words for. So in my kind of boots on the ground work as a prayer missionary in context, I had kind of experienced dynamics and situations that I hadn't really been able to put language to, and his work put language to that for me and helped me identify tensions between belonging and exclusion that I had sort of identified and felt but hadn't really kind of been able to move further with that. And I was really grateful for that because it helped to deepen my understanding of my own ministry practice, and it kind of informed my thinking and gave me language around it, a way of thinking and approaching some of the aspects of what I do day to day, and I guess a bit more of a theological framework around some of the things I was seeing interpersonally and to do with ministry. So I found that a really helpful experience, and he gave opportunities in his paper to break into small groups and discuss. And so that was lovely as well, because I wasn't just receiving his paper, but I was receiving the wisdom from the room.
Yeah.
So that was an added kind of help, really.
That's incredibly powerful, isn't it? That how you're interpreting it there in the moment yourself and then sharing that with others. I find that really interesting when I'm doing workshops with PCCs sometimes, to say, actually, what did you hear from that?
Yes.
And I suppose it's like the Lectio Divina practice as well. What are you noticing, and how do you hear that? Mark, did you have anything to add there?
What I'd say is that actually having moved to Cornwall from another country and having some experience of Cornwall, my wife grew up in Devon, say that carefully, but actually has Cornish roots, and my father-in-law and mother-in-law ministered in Cornwall for a while in retirement. But coming into Cornwall and hearing people speak from a Cornish context has been extremely helpful for me. So it's part of the whole seeking to understand more of where we are. It comes back to the contextual theology, but actually listening. So Isaac's paper was really helpful for me as well, because of the way he sort of drilled down into the culture or cultures of a local congregation. And for me, just coming new, if you like, or new to Cornwall, and particularly in the role I occupy, that's been really helpful. And there's a strong emphasis, I think, again, through the papers on both the conferences so far, on place and the importance of place and what that means and how that's understood, whether it's to look at pilgrimage, whether it's to look at local congregations. What theology of place do we have? Yeah. And that's significant. So I think, again, just to reflect on that, it's a way of expanding the way I think, hopefully, going back into context, perhaps giving me new questions to ask and to think about, new things to notice. And again, I think that's spread across the papers rather than one particular paper. But Isaac's paper was very, very helpful because of its very particular Cornish context.
And I suppose lots of places, I mean, and every place is unique, but there is something very unique about Cornwall and its history and its spiritual history. And actually being able to explore that together with a group of different people must help to think about, when you're preaching sermons or delivering workshops or things like that, how it's going to land with people. Because sometimes I think we can say amazing things that you think are really powerful, but actually if you've said it in a way that doesn't really land with people, it can almost be lost. So actually, if you're exploring that, to think how it can land better is really, really helpful.
And it's not just in the teaching context, it's in the pastoral context too. So obviously in the work that I do, I'm engaging pastorally with people all the time, and very often people outside of the church contexts. And so therefore some understanding of Cornish cultures and self-understanding of people within Cornwall is also really important for me. So that's part of the learning process.
Excellent. So what are your hopes for Think Faith in the future?
Well, I hope that it continues to be a meeting place for those who would want to think deeply and engage in academic theology, for networking, for encouraging. I think we are far from lots of other opportunities to do something like this. So I hope that we continue to gather scholars who want to share their work. It's a warm space, so those who are embarking into academic theology or those who have been in it for years to have that rich mixture of different disciplines. We have, this is ecumenical, so we have people presenting from Baptist and Anglican and Methodist and Free Church denominations. And I think that's part of the richness as well, is that we're thinking across the denominational divides, as it were, and coming together to think theologically and network as well in that way, to find partners in areas that we may not naturally coincide. So I hope that it continues to be that meeting place of minds. And I hope it continues to be a place of listening and learning and encouragement for local ministry, missionaries, clergy. I hope it is a restful and a nourishing space. Someone at the last conference said to me, oh, I feel like I've been on retreat. I've just been fed. And I really hope that that's the experience for people. And I hope it will create opportunities for people to work together in other ways. So after the last conference, we ran a think tank, which was a 6-week book study group, basically. So we met fortnightly on Zoom to study a key text from one of the papers last year. So there were two groups that met online. And this was a really good opportunity to think more deeply, more slowly, greater length in small groups, with the opportunity to discuss at length one of the key themes from last year. And so I'd love to see that continue. I'd love to encourage more of those kind of activities, groups, gatherings to continue and to grow. And I think for those who wouldn't normally prioritise this kind of thing, to make academic theology more accessible, to keep bridging that gap between scholarship and church, because the Spirit is speaking and we want to listen. And I think there's a lovely invitation really for us to engage theologically as church together. So yeah, so I think that would be my hopes.
And I guess even geographically, as we said at the beginning, the fact that it's in Cornwall and for a day actually makes it so accessible to people that might not be able to get to that elsewhere. So it's really, really important that people try and engage with it if they can. Mark, just to finish off, you mentioned earlier about Think Tank. Did you want to say any more about Think Tank?
Yes, and how I do. I participated in one of the groups. I was just saying earlier that I managed to forget the last one, which I feel... but actually, the fact that I'd felt disappointed shows its value. It was really, to me, there was some real stretching going on in that. We were looking at what it means to be made in the image of God, using a book written by Lucy Pepiat, excellent book, as a starting place for our conversations. And again, just to have the diverse experiences and views within the virtual room was really good. And I do want to say this. I think we talked about what the use of the conference, but it is fun. It's enjoyable. I think that's also really worth emphasising. It's life-giving. And so for me, I've just been very glad of it, being new to Cornwall, that this exists and all that's come from it. But yes, I'm hoping we'll do a think tank next year and the opportunity for other people to engage in that. And again, just it's we talk about academic theology, but that can feel like a real barrier to people. It just means thinking and exploring together. And there's a real humility in the conference, in how people approach the papers that they give, but also in how they approach the questions that are asked. Mm-hmm. I think it's a safe space for people to actually think and ask questions together. I've experience of the so-called secular academic world, and sometimes it's like that and sometimes it's not. Sometimes it can be quite competitive and unhelpful. This is not like that. Okay. This is good. There's a good atmosphere and it is enjoyable.
Yeah, and I guess that feeds back again into that building of community, because
yes,
you need to have that safe and accessible space for people to want to build community together and to enjoy it together.
So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Well, thank you both for joining me today. I hope the conference goes really well and look forward to hearing more about it. If people want to find out more, would they visit a website? What would they do to
So maybe we can pop a link to the booking form in the notes that go along with this. There's a sign-up form. You can order lunch along with your ticket for a small cost as well, which is excellent. There's free tea and coffee all day, but you can also purchase a lunch with your ticket. There's a slightly discounted rate until the end of August, so that's an incentive to book early. It only goes up a little bit, but so that would be the place to go, really. Yeah,
excellent. Well, we'll add that on the bottom of the podcast as well.
So. Yeah. And also just want to say that White River Church are great hosts, aren't they?
They are.
They really are. It's a really good place to meet.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to CMD Bite Size Podcasts, produced by the Diocese of Truro. If you've enjoyed this episode, please do follow and share. To listen to similar podcasts, please visit the Truro Diocese website. If there is a subject you would like us to include, please email us at ministry@truro-diocese.org.uk.